has been able to blend traditional conservative policy, economically and foreign policy, and put the Trump stamp on it. On trade and immigration, these are the two issues that really drove him to get into politics. And what I've tried to do is understand how he got elected, respect his election, tell him when I think that won't work, and help him where I can as often as I can. Because he is our president. He is in charge of our party. And generally speaking, I like him a lot. The best is yet to come. So, Venezuela is going to collapse, and he asked me about sending troops. I said, I'm not so sure about that. He said, you want to invade everywhere except the one place I want to invade. If I don't want to invade, you probably should think twice about that. Bottom line is, I don't think we need to send troops yet, but they may come today if Venezuela completely falls apart. What we're doing is just showcasing what Venezuela is all about. We're with a new guy, the young guy, who will take Venezuela in a different direction. And under President Trump's leadership, pretty much the whole world is rejecting Maduro. So to those who say that the president can't work with other people, I would say look at Venezuela. They're all lining up behind Trump. And I want to thank the president for jumping out early and providing leadership. Syria. President Trump keeps telling me about the mess he inherited, and I said, boy, did you. President Obama made some really big mistakes, and like it or not, it's up to you to clean up this mess. And that's just the way it goes. How many of you believe that Obama left Iraq too soon? I told President Trump, listen to your military advisors. You don't have to take it, but if you don't think they know what they're talking about, fire them and get somebody else. I'm really pleased with this president listening to the military and giving them a chance to win a fight we can't afford to lose. How did the caliphate get virtually destroyed? President Trump unleashed the military. Why is the Taliban at the table? Because they've been kicking their ass for the last 2 years. This stuff works. I don't, if Obama would do it, you don't, and you'll be fine most of the time. Learn from Bush's mistakes. Learn from Obama's mistakes. Listen to your generals. Then make the decision you think is best for all of us. So we're almost there when it comes to destroying the territorial caliphate of ISIS. What does ISIS stand for? Syria and Iraq. The Islamic State and Iraq and Syria. They're no more in Iraq as a state. They're just about gone in Syria. I'm working with the president to come up with a post-ISIS strategy that will allow us to remove a good many of our troops, replace them with other people who should do more, have the Arabs pay for the reconstruction of all the damage that was caused by ISIS, and make sure they don't come back, Turkey and the Kurds don't get in a fight, because the Syrian Democratic Forces, mostly the Kurds, have been there for us. Don't you think we owe it to them to make sure we don't leave and they get all slaughtered? Nobody will help you in the future. And Turkey's an ally, we owe it to them to keep problems away from their border. There's a way to do this with less troops. The last thing we want to do is give Syria to the Iranians. This president saw Iran for what and who they are. One rule I learned in the bar in Central. If somebody's going to threaten to cut your throat, don't buy them a knife. That's good, the best thing I can do. And when it comes to jokes, I'm going to get you better jokes. I'm showing you how to do it. Got any lawyers in the room? Any lawyers? How many of you care for yourself a lawyer? Nobody. Including me, and I'm a lawyer.
Oh, not here.
What does it mean when you see three lawyers buried up to the neck in sand? Somebody ran out of sand. What's the difference between a bottom, a catfish, and a lord? One's a bottom dwelling creature, and the other's a lord. So, there are better jokes out there. You never go wrong beating on lawyers, and I am one. Bottom line is, the Republican Party is a happy group of people right now. Don't you think? We should be well pleased. South Carolina is in our hands at almost every level of government. We've got a Republican president. We lost the House, but I think we can get back to 2020. We grew our majority. A word of warning. They are coming after us. Big time. The South is beginning to change. Virginia. Not the Virginia it was 4 years ago.
Wow.
Our friends in North Carolina. Trump won, but it was close. Georgia. There's going to be a contest from hell in Georgia. South Carolina. We're not going to rest on our laurels. Young people, I think our view of how to grow this economy and keep us safe is better than the young lady from New York's vision. I really believe that. And you got to get young people to listen to you. And we need more young people in our party. So I'm going to pledge the best I can to go to colleges and get talking about, tell the conservative story so they'll have something to compare on the other side too. Minorities. President Trump has created historically low unemployment for African Americans and the Hispanic community. What does that mean? Policies matter. Rhetoric also matters. What do we have going for us in South Carolina? Tim Scott. Tim Scott, from a Republican point of view, is a treasure. He is a conservative who has walked a different path. He will be listened to and go places that many of us could never go. And he gets the crap beat out of him all the time by the liberals. We should all appreciate Tim Scott. I do. So, what I want to do is take this smiling, happy group of people and spread it. Right now, being a Democrat seems to be who you hate, not what you love. I want conservatism to always be about what you love. And that takes us to judges. I have been in Washington since 1994. I was impeachment manager riding a real wave after the Clinton impeachment trial. I fought the good fight as I could see it. Most of you appreciated it. I've tried to solve problems. And if you solve problems, you're going to run into some resistance, like immigration. I have worked with Democrats every way I know how to work to make sure we don't have 11 million 20 years from now. Isn't that the goal? And there's only one way to fix this problem, working with the other side. And I've taken my fair share of grief for trying to find solutions to really hard problems. I voted for Sotomayor and Kagan because I did it the old way. Strom Thurmond voted for Ginsburg. Do you believe he agreed with Ginsburg? No. Fritz Hollins voted for Scalia. I know he did not agree with Scalia. It used to be, folks, that if you won the White House, you got to pick qualified people of your ideological persuasion. How many of you heard elections matter when it comes to the Supreme Court?
Absolutely.
How many of you understood that was one of the biggest prizes of this last election?
Yep.
Trump wrote down 25 names, if I win, I'm going to pick from. Name one president that's ever done that. So the public heard all the debate, the Trump stuff, and they picked him over Hillary Clinton. And what has he been doing when it comes to judges? Exactly what he promised to do. I have been a lawyer most of my adult life. I can tell you that when it comes to Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, any Republican president would have chosen those two. They're as mainstream as they could get. When he picked Kavanaugh, I told the Democrats, hallelujah, because it could have been Judge Judy. He picked an actual judge who knows what he's doing. It's one of the great legal minds of his time. I remember what it was like when I did it the old way. I got beat up pretty good, but that's okay. I expected it. And I took it. And I got elected anyway. Because enough of you said, okay, that makes sense to me. Here's what I'm going to promise you. I'm not going to play it the old way if the old way is dead. And let me tell you what happens when the old way dies. It's bad for everybody in this room. Gorsuch was a little dust up. So when the president called me and said, I'm going to go with Kavanaugh, I said, Mr. President, you will not regret this choice. You will go down in history as picking a very qualified man who has dedicated his life to the law, and he's a Bush guy. You want to bring this party together? You're doing it. You're reaching out to different factions, and you're pulling us together. What did we learn from Kavanaugh? It's not about Trump, it's about us. They hate us. Why is it always our guys and gals that get beat up? Clarence Thomas, Bork, Kavanaugh. Why is it always us? Because the other side will do whatever they can to deny a conservative, not a Trump pick, a conservative position on this court. I was hoping that when I recognized that President Obama won, it would be a path that others would follow. I was wrong. And I'm sad for that. How many of you would want your sons or daughters to be nominated to the Supreme Court given the environment right now? So what happened with Kavanaugh was the low point for me in my time in the United States Senate. I've known Brett for 20 years. He was the personal secretary to the president, which means that everything that passed President Bush's 43's desk went through him. He's went through 6 FBI background checks. Any of you ever had a colonoscopy? Do it 6 times. So I was hoping that we would pick up a few and this thing would pass without doing a lot of damage. I was wrong. It was about Kennedy's seat, the swing vote. And they were dumb enough to tell us what they were actually trying to do. Hold the seat open until the 2020 election. One of the senators said that. That's what we're trying to do. It's not really about bread. We're just trying to hold this seat open so we can fill it. And the things I heard, I couldn't believe I was in America. You're guilty until you can prove otherwise. I would hate to be a Republican charged with a crime in Hawaii. So I sat there stunned at some of the questions being asked of him and some of the positions being taken by them regarding how you get on the court. It's the last day, the last hour of the last day. I thought he had made it. If it had been a fight, they would have stopped it because he just batted down every question about the law. I've got a letter here. I've been reluctant to give it, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. I didn't know what that was going to lead to, but the next day I did. What they tried to do to this guy was unconscionable. Shoe on the other foot. A Democratic male nominee. A woman had come up to me as a senator from South Carolina saying, I've been wronged by this person. Don't tell anybody, I just want to share it with you. I betray her trust, they would kill me. If the committee invited her to come up to come to South Carolina so she wouldn't have to go to Washington, and her lawyer didn't tell her, they would kill that lawyer. If I ever suggested the Democratic nominee is not entitled to presumption of innocence because I disagree with his ideology, it'd be front page news all over the world. What did we learn? How in the tank the media is for their causes. If the allegations had been this spurious against the Democrat, they would have eaten the people who made the allegations alive. The Avenatti debacle. I went on to parties on 9 or 10 occasions where Brett Kavanaugh drugged and participated in gang rapes of young women. Wouldn't one be enough? Would you go back 9 or 10 times? This made no sense as to Ms. Ford. No doubt in my mind something happened to her, but it was not Brett Kavanaugh. You could not get out of the batter's box in terms of a criminal proceeding with the accusations made against Brett. They can't tell you the time, the location, but it just happened. And when they name the people that are supposed to know it happened, they all say, I don't know what you're talking about. That's it. This went on day after day after day. So when it came my time, I hope I spoke to you. I took all the notes and I wadded them up and I threw them against the dais up there. When one senator said, if you're truly innocent, why don't you ask to extend the investigation? What do you have to hide? In other words, keep this going to destroy your two daughters and your wife's life for a couple more weeks if you have nothing to hide. This is not the Soviet Union, folks. We don't do it that way. That was it for me. I could not believe that it had gotten this bad, going through a guy's annual in high school. So what did that tell me? They want power way too much. There's nothing they won't do when it comes to these kind of issues. And I promise you this, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, we're going to start over. And we're going to get as many conservative judges through the system as I possibly can. I will work with Democrats to solve the problems of the nation, but I'm also going to fight for this president's right to be president of the United States. Why is it every other president got money for a wall, but Trump can't? And they hate you. And the reason my engagement speech, whatever, you know, I was pissed off. The reason it worked is because I voted for Sotomayor and Kagan. I just wasn't some Republican. The reason I think I could be helpful to the president, because all of these other efforts to fix an immigration system, I was part of. You name a gang, I have been in it. And I know what we've done in the past. I know that every Democrat who's saying not a dollar for the wall voted for billions of dollars for a wall on their watch. The Gang of Eight, $46 billion for border security. We did everything but put alligators on the border. $8 billion for barrier. They were bragging about how tough they were. A Border Patrol agent every 1,000 feet. Now they want to abolish ICE. ICE is not the problem, they're the solution. What an about face. In 2007, 634 miles of fencing was authorized by the Congress in a bipartisan fashion. February of last year, 46 Democrats voted for $25 billion for a border wall. Now they got the House. And they're trying to deny this president the ability to secure the border like Obama and Bush. Why? Because they hate him. You can't let him get away with it. Now, we got to February the 15th to figure this out. I'm begging Democrats, be fair to the president and he will be fair to you regarding the temporary displaced program, TPS, and DACA. Legal status, no pathway to citizenship if we can figure this out, or wall money. The $5.7 billion, how did we get that number? If you ask the Department of Homeland Security, tell me your top 10 locations where we need a barrier and how much it costs, is $5.7 billion. The experts, not me, not Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, but the Department of Homeland Security has identified the top 10 locations where you need a barrier, and this is what it costs. And they're going to give him a dollar. If this continues, the president is going to have to go it alone. To every Republican, if you don't stand behind this president, we're not going to stand behind you when it comes to the wall. This is the defining moment of his presidency. It's not just about a wall. It's about him being treated different than every other president. This is a fight between the people who are so smart and the rest of us. This is more than about a barrier. This is about us as a party. I'm hoping some Democrats will wake up in the next couple of days and say, yeah, there's a deal to be done. Because if these TPS people lose their legal status, look in the mirror because you caused it. If the DACA recipients, they can't get work permits, it's because you hated Trump more than you liked them. So how does this end? It probably ends with the president having to go it alone. I've been a military lawyer most of my adult life. Bush 43 sent troops to the border because we needed troops to go to the border. Obama sent troops to the border. Not one Democrat complained. Trump is sending 3,700 to the border right now because 12,000 people are marching on the border. And let me tell you about the current border. If a 9-month pregnant woman can climb over a wall and have her child inside America, that is not a secure border. It's not good for her to do it. It's not good for us to have a border that porous. They pass an 8-month-old baby under the wall. If this were working, they would not be coming. If people believed we'd have secured our border, you wouldn't have 12,000 people marching on it. So this is a very big deal to my Republican colleagues. I can understand being concerned about what Democrats may do in the future. But that is no excuse to not have this presence back now. Because we're not doing anything exotic here. If a president can send a soldier to the border, not to enforce border law, but to provide security, why can't that soldier put up a barrier while they're there. There's a lot of unobligated money in the Department of Defense and other security accounts. This president, in my view, can obligate those funds. There's a legitimate national security purpose. I am not worried about setting a bad precedent. The last three presidents have sent troops to the border. They don't go for free. We pay them to go there. We pay for them while they stay. And they're putting up barbed wire. What's the difference between barbed wire and a steel slab? I'm confident the president has the legal ability to do this. I'm hoping he does not have to go down this road. I'm hoping that the hatred toward him will give way to common sense, and we can do for President Trump what we're willing to do for President Bush, President Obama. But if come February the 15th, that hope is not realized, I will be with this president. Yeah. Finally, people ask, got a guy from New York, welcome. What's happened to Lindsey Graham? Not a damn thing. Nothing. I worked with Obama where I could in the Gang of Eight bill. Fought President Bush in Iraq, then wound up being his biggest fan. I didn't think we had enough troops, and I told him so. Asked for the Secretary of Defense to resign as a Republican when I thought the war was not going well. When President Bush adjusted to do the surge that was unpopular, stood with me. I voted for Obama's judges because I thought that's the way you're supposed to do it. What's happened to me? Not a damn thing. If you expect me to vote for their judges and watch our people get slaughtered, you don't know me very well. I grew up Central, and there's still some of that in me. So, I ran against President Trump. I got 1%. He reminds me of that all the time. I've got to know him on the golf course. He's been gracious. He called me a couple times yesterday. He drives me crazy like he drives you crazy, sometimes tweeting. Yeah. He is who he is. I like what he's done with the military. I like what he's doing with ISIS. I love what he's doing with our economy. I'm very proud of him when it comes to judges. So I'm going to help him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to endorse him. I am all in for trying to make him to be the most consequential president of our lifetime. Not because he's a Republican, but because he's president at a time that really matters. The pro-life community, have you ever seen a better president for the cause? For those of you who are in the military, have you ever seen a commander-in-chief more dedicated to the soldier? To those of you who've been living and dreaming for a conservative judiciary, have you seen a guy picked better than him? So that's the big stuff. And when it comes to the big stuff, I'm going to help this folks. God bless you. Attorney General.
Yeah, the gaping hole right now.
Okay, Bill Barr, how many of you heard of Bill Barr? Okay, what can you say about Bill Barr? You can't pick a better person than Bill Barr. He's been nominated to be Attorney General and got chosen by voice vote. He was the general counsel of the CIA, passed the Senate by voice vote. We didn't have to vote for the guy. He's been the assistant Attorney General, passed by voice vote. Bush 41, Bush 43. How many votes will he get this week? None from the Democrats. I can't explain this. We're asking Trump to make good decisions. And when it comes to the Attorney General, he made a great decision. If you pick Bush 41's Attorney General, that's a pretty good place to show the country, way to show the country that you're a reasonable person. If Bill Barr doesn't get any votes from the Democrats, it will be sad. Because how can you say that this man is not qualified for the job?
Somebody else.
One more.
What's your opinion on the Article 5?
One more time. The opinion on Article 5?
Article 5. What's your opinion on that?
Of NATO? It's ahead of Article 4 and short of Article 6. What is Article 5? what's your question? Oh, am I for
term?
Oh.
Convention of States.
Convention of States.
Oh, well, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Why didn't you just say that? Yeah. I'm fine. Tom Coburn and those guys, yeah, they have a convention of states and kind of clean up, so yeah, makes perfect sense to me.
One more person.
What's your biggest surprise about Trump?
My biggest surprise about Trump, he actually is a good golfer. He's big and huge and everything's wonderful. Sometimes it's a lot of talk, but my biggest surprise is how well he listens. I've been in rooms with him a lot, and you'll have a lot of opinion, and you'll sit there very quietly. Most of this has been around Afghanistan lately. That the Taliban are at the table for a reason. We may find a way to end this war. The way the war ends is the Taliban have to reconcile with other people in Afghanistan on their terms, not the Taliban's terms. And so the president wants to get out of all these messes. He promised to do it, but once you get to be president, it's different than when you campaign. The thing I'm most pleased with is how he will adjust based on what he's told. And for a guy who talks a lot and has something to say about everything, he's an amazingly good listener. To my Democratic friends, you're making a mistake by thinking this guy. Just keep doing what you're doing. They've written him off as being a bunch of things. I think he's going to win. You know why I think he's going to win? What he's done as president has affected a lot of people in a very positive way economically. I think we're safer today than we've been at any time in the last decade. And he's cleaning up these messes and got the Iranians on the run. He's talking to Rocket Man. And to everybody that criticizes him, how well did you do with Rocket Man? So he's going to give Rocket Man a choice. Death or condos. That's what I like most about Trump. He makes it really easy understand where he's coming from. But what I like most about him is that he listens, and what you don't see is a guy in awe of his job. Every time we go out to play golf, he looks at all the Secret Service agents and he said, "This is incredible." One quick story, riding to Kavanaugh swearing in at the Supreme Court, President Melania and myself. And this is a big moment. So it was a hard fight. And if we'd lost Kavanaugh, that'd been the end of conservative judges in our lifetime. Nobody in their right mind would want to be a judge, and you would have lost faith in us. This was a big deal, and it was a big day. We're driving down, going up the Supreme Court, and I said, turn around, Lindsay. And you look back, you know, not a car on the road but us, and you see the bookends of the Capitol and the White House, just the whole majesty of the place. And he said, can you believe we're doing this? I said, no, Mr. President, I have to pinch myself. All I ask of you and all I ask of me is to do the best we can. Donald Trump will do the best he can. Thank you very much.
Okay, friends, for safety's sake, if you're going to speak to the senator, please give a little space so he can greet you individually. And please move along the line, okay? He would love to talk to you. We're often not right here for an hour. So do him a favor and do us a favor. And let's give him one more round of applause. We appreciate it. Senator, raise his hand. Will be our speaker for that meeting. I would like to remind you on your place when you came in, there's a wonderful event called Panel. It's at Clemson University. Diane Hardy is part of this. Please take a look at this. It's a great way to learn what's going on in your community. Once again, a shout out. I think Bud K, Bank of Travelers Rest, Carolyn the Happy Realtor, Joey Hudson, WGTK, catch them every morning from 6 to 9. I don't know who gets up, but I'm sure somebody does. Let me leave you with this thought from Harold Whitman. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Hold on, folks. Let's go. Hold on. All right, here's my quote for you to live and leave with, and I think it fits right in with our senator. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And then go and do that. Because, friend, what the world needs are people who have come alive for a good purpose. Thank you. Drive safely. We have your sunglasses if you'd like them afterwards. Say hello to our Lieutenant Governor and our Congressman. Thank you, everybody.
I'm saying hi to Pam.